sing a lot better then than I sing now. Amen? There's coming a day that the way we play, the way we sing, will all be tuned in. Amen? And until that day comes, we will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ with the breath that's in us, with the heart that He has given us. And church, it's time. It is not time. It's way past time. Amen? It's time for us to get back to the basics of the cross.
Right.
It's time to come back to that very first day when the church was born. There were some things that happened within those first couple of years that the church needs to awaken to that we need today. Right? There are some things that the church has been neglecting to do for 1,000 years. You know, that we really have not been fulfilling the call of Jesus Christ in our lives. And it's time. Who knows that it's time? Can you tell that it's time because of the wickedness that's going on? Can you tell that it's time because all of the sin, that the evil that's being called righteousness, and the righteousness that's being called evil, and the light that the church is supposed to be has been dumbed down.
Yeah.
And it's because we forgot whose children we are. Amen? And it's time for the people of Christ. It's time for the ecclesia. It's time for the church to awaken. I don't know when He's coming back. I don't know when that last day is going to be. But I guarantee you, as the old Cajun cook would say, I guarantee that we are closer today than what we were yesterday.
Amen.
Amen? I see prophecies being fulfilled on every hand. I see the times are becoming fulfilled, and I don't know if it's 1,000 years or if it's 6 years from now, but the time is close, and it's time. The only time that the church has to get right is today, right? I cannot promise you one more breath. I cannot promise you your tomorrow. I can promise you that God loves you where you're at, and He wants to encourage us to remember from where we have come. Strengthen those things which remain, all right? Or else He will come and He will take the candlestick, the light, out of the church. It's time, church. It's time for us to get back. Getting back to the basics of what God did. And you know that this is Pentecost Sunday, right? This is the time. It was just, in the apostles' time, it was just 10 days ago, they were standing on the mount talking to Jesus, and He told them to go make disciples. He didn't tell them to save souls. That's pretty cool, isn't it? I'm glad that Jesus didn't tell me to save souls, because I can't. I can't. If I save you, you can get lost again. It's not my blood that's going to make you righteous. It's His blood.
Amen.
What He did tell me to do is go make those connections. Make disciples. Find people who want to hear and to know about God. And proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord. Show the love of God to the lost and the dying people. Meet the widows. Meet the orphans. Meet those who are caught in the snares of Satan. Meet those who are caught up in the sins and the times of this world. Meet those who are afraid, and love them where they're at.
Amen.
Amen? That is what the call of the church is. See, they don't need my translation of the Bible, but I do pray that you all have a King James Bible. All right, personally, that's my preference. I think that's the Word of God for the church today. I know. I love you. I love you. All right, I love you. And I know some folks just have a hard time with the King James, but that's okay. If God can talk to a donkey, He can use the NIV.
Amen.
Amen? But personally, from nearly inspired version, right? But personally, if you can do the King James, get a King James, right? It is the perfect Word of God. Harder to understand in our day and our vernacular, absolutely. But God, all right? God loves you where you're at. And He will use whatever He needs to use to get to you. And when He gets to you, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, just like we're going to talk about in a few moments. And we need to do the things that Jesus has called us to do in this day and time. All right? We can't rely on the blessings of yesterday for the problems of today. Right? Not that the problems have changed. But our society is more blinded than I think they've ever been.
Amen.
And what they need is light. They need the light of Jesus Christ. And they will only see that light because we're supposed to be a city built on a hill, right? Reflecting, not shining our own light, but shining the light of the sun, very much like the moon does to our physical sun. The sun shines on it and it reflects that light back down to the earth. And that's what we're supposed to be, reflectors of God's love, grace, and mercy. And we can only do that as we are illuminated by the Holy Spirit of God. And that illumination became real on the day of Pentecost. Like I said before the sermon started, what happened that day is spectacular. It really is. Because the duties of the Holy Spirit changed that day. No longer would the Holy Spirit just come and rest on men for a short time. Now the Holy Spirit was coming to indwell the hearts and the souls of man. And the reason He came to indwell us is to lead us into all righteousness and to remind us everything that Jesus said. To bring it back to memory. And so church today is something that we need to get back to. Well, and on that day in Acts chapter 2 and verse 2 it says, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues of fire that set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." These are the accounts. This is the thing that happened that day. Now, in that day, there are 17 different people groups that were in Jerusalem that they particularly spoke to. And you can go through the names of them, but I don't think the names of the people groups really matter anymore. What does matter is that there were people that did not have the Hebrew tongue that were there. They needed to hear things in their own language, and the Holy Spirit allowed that to happen. I think the larger miracle, more than just speaking in tongues that you had not learned, the larger miracle was this, that anybody heard anything, right? Have you ever been in a crowded restaurant or a sporting event or something like that, and somebody's trying to talk to you? But you can't hear anything that they're saying because there's 500 people to your right. 500. Now, 120 men and women were in the upper room. The Spirit of God came and they started speaking in tongues that they had never learned. There was a crowd underneath there that heard them speaking, and they all heard the wonderful works of God in their mother language.
Amen.
Right? That's the greater miracle. The tongues came on that day. Praise God that they came. But the greater miracle is that anybody heard and understood anything.
Amen.
Right? Because I know if I'm in a room that has more than four people talking at the same time, I can barely hear myself. Right? Mm-hmm. Amen? And so what happened that day, although it was miraculous, although the tongues was wonderful, the greater thing is that they heard the wonderful workings of God.
Amen.
They heard what the Lord Jesus Christ had done. And they heard that He loves them in the middle of their mess. They heard that there was a Savior that had come and died on a cross and was raised on the third day, and now He had ascended into heaven, and that He sent the Paracletus, the Comforter, one just like Jesus, not just to be around us, to be in us.
Amen?
What a great day. What a great day. That was the day that the Ecclesia, the church, was born. Right? And from that day forth, this is what you see. Oh, but when they first began, what power they had. Right? When they first began, there were three things that the early church did that I believe if we did today, the church would have a power of the Holy Ghost that we have not experienced in a very, very, I would say maybe 1,000 years. Who would like some of that? Amen? I want some of that. Don't get me wrong. I don't really need to speak in tongues. I speak to Americans, all right? So I don't need tongues so much. But what I do need is a boldness and a filling and the wisdom of God flowing from where I am into everybody around me. In my sphere of influence, they need to know the one true God. And I need to be able, you need to be able to meet the people where they are express the goodness, the love, compassion of God in a way that they can understand it in their mother language. Right? Paul said, I become all things to all men that I might bring some to the knowledge of Christ. Right? That means to the drunkard, I don't need to be drunk, but I need to love them in the middle of their alcohol. Right? To the drug addict, I don't need to be a drug addict, but I need to love them in the middle of their stuporness. And in the middle of the prostitute, the same way, the rebellious teenager, the same way, the arrogant neighbor, the same way, right? You've got to love them where they are till the Holy Ghost can talk to them and bring them out of the darkness into the light. See, it's God who does the saving, not you. Amen. We're called to make disciples. We're called to meet people where they are, love them where they are, and then be the hands and the feet of our Savior. Expressing not just with our lips the love of God, but with our very lives.
Amen.
And so, these things were happening, Peter brings this beautiful message. It's a wonderful message. Right? And many people get saved. It says 3,000 people. 3,000 people. Talk about church exploding. 3,000 people came to the Lord that day. 3,000 people heard the Lord's call on their life. They repented and they were baptized. Right? They repented of their sin and they got they came out openly saying, I want what you have, Lord Jesus, and I'm going to take... Well, there are two baptisms that happened to them that day, okay? There was the spiritual baptism that every saved person experiences, and then there's the physical water baptism that had to happen. They heard the Word of God, they believed by faith, and they accepted what the Word said to them. And the Holy Ghost came and rested on them, in them, and they believed to the point of repentance. And they repented of their sin and made an outward showing of what had already happened inside.
Yeah.
Right? They came before the people, the same folks who would reject them and hate them and chastise them. They came and said, I want to take this step of faith and I want to be water baptized. I want to lay down in the water. I want to be covered by the water and drown that old man. Amen? I want everybody to know it. I'm going to drown him. He's worthless. He needs to die. And I get baptized and then I get raised in the newness of life through Jesus Christ. And that was the symbol of the baptism. Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit already happened. God moved on them, touched their heart, and bam, the old man was died, crucified with Christ, and they were becoming, being translated slowly into the new person. But I needed to make that confession, that open profession of faith, that the whole world could see the old Curtis drowned in the tub.
Amen.
Amen. And I drowned. I'm no longer, dead people, you ain't got to worry about them, right? When you're dead, you're dead. You ain't coming back. You're dead, right? They bury you underground. Ain't no Dracula. There ain't no Dracula, okay? Zombie apocalypse is just a video game, right? It's not real, okay? So God loves you. But there is a day of a resurrection, but it's going to be a new body, praise God. There is coming that time also. But Peter preached, and he said to the people that were there, he said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and all that are after all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen? That's in Acts chapter 2, I think it's verse 40. And he talks about that we're called out of that darkness and into his marvelous light. And after that, there's some things that happen. I actually said that and I should have been reading my Bible and not my notes, because I hate to quote to you the wrong scripture place, which I just did. Amen. I did. And I was going by my notes, and sometimes I write things. I write it right out of the Bible, but I get them. If you don't know, I'm dyslexic. I see everything backwards. not my excuse. I just need to remember those things and not go by notes. But anyhow, as Peter had talked and had taught in verse 41, well, in verse 40, and with many other words, he, meaning Peter, did testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this outward generation, or crooked generation. Verse 41. And when they had gladly received his word, they were baptized, and the same word added unto the church about 3,000 souls. And this is what is so important right here, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly. All right, how did they continue? Steadfastly. What's that mean?
Not giving up.
Not giving up. Amen. Standing your ground. Remaining in. They stayed steadfast. Stubborn. They stayed stubbornly in the Word. Amen. They stayed steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So doctrine, fellowship, breaking of the bread, and prayer. Look at what the church is not doing today. All right? When I came across that, when I was studying about this, I said, those are the points I need to touch on. Okay. Do we really want the power of the Holy Spirit in the church today?
Amen?
I want more than just the saving power of God. Don't get me wrong. Praise God. I am born again by the power of God. But there's some things that we got to get back to. There's the basics of life that we need to come back to. And he talks about first, staying steadfast, not moving from the apostles' doctrine. See, y'all don't need my doctrine. You don't need Charles Stanley's doctrine, Mike. All right? And you don't need Dr. So-and-so or Professor So-and-so or their doctrine. What doctrine do you need? All right? The doctrine of the apostles. And what is the doctrine of the apostles, you might ask? Say it again.
Doctrine of Jesus.
Amen. Doctrine of Jesus. It is His death, His burial, His resurrection, and what to do. So it tells us in the Scripture to love the Lord your God with how much?
All.
All. How much is that?
All.
Now in the Greek, what does all mean?
All.
In the Hebrew, what does all mean? It means all. It means everything. All of your heart. All of your mind. All of your strength. Okay. All of you. All right, that's the apostles' doctrine. This mealy-mouthed Christianity has got to stop.
Amen.
We have sent thousands and millions of souls to hell because we preach another gospel, which is not a gospel. Mm-hmm. We've been watering down the Word of God to make it more convenient. Yeah. The church has, like it was talked about from Paul to Timothy, that they're gathering to themselves teachers with itching ears. It reminds me of a dog. Right? No. Pastors that want to hear, well done, Pat. Oh, Pastor, you said it was so much unicorns and rainbows today. Oh, it was all cotton candy, so fluffy. Oh, I'm so comfortable now. You made me feel so good. That's not what the gospel is for.
No.
We're supposed to feel uncomfortable.
Yep.
When I hear about sin in my lifestyle and the judgment of God, we are supposed to know the terror of the Lord.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
We're supposed to honor Him, to be crucified because of Him, to die to my sin, myself, because of His great love and grace that He gave us. And we're supposed to be examples of that here in this world.
Amen.
Not these mealy-mouthed, cotton, fluffy, chicken pastors. All right? Sorry, my flesh is...
Preach it, brother.
I know, but I got to be careful. I got to be careful because I don't want to discourage anybody. I want to encourage you to get back to the basics. To get back to the solid doctrines of God.
Amen.
Stop listening to Dr. So-and-so, right? Y'all, anybody who's ever heard me talk, you know what I think of a PhD. Piled high and deep. All right? Those cemetery schools that they send godly men to. Now, they used to be great. They used to be seminaries, right? And they brought men from a sinful place and taught them the riches and the graces and the mercy of God. And they changed men's hearts and lives. But that ended in around 1830. Right? And we started teaching some other gospel. That's when all the perversions of the doctrines of God started coming out. Folks, if we really want the power of God, we've got to get back to the God of the power.
Amen.
Amen. And this is the birth of the church. This is when it all began. And what did those early church members do? They listened to the Old Testament. Because there was no New Testament written back then. They listened to the Scriptures, as Jesus called them, the Holy Scriptures of God. They listened to the prophets. They held on to the Law of Moses, the Pentateuch, those first books of God. And they saw the attributes of God in the Ten Commandments. And they saw the love of God. They saw the mercy of God. They saw the faithfulness of God. Then they saw God the Son manifested in flesh. And those apostles didn't just talk about the coming of the cross. They talked about the cross where Jesus died, where he took on the sin of the world, and that he gave gifts unto men, that we might boldly go beyond the confines of our life and minister. Do you know that each and every one who's born again is a minister?
Yes.
Do you know that? Do you know what minister means? Servant. Servant. So those folks who stand behind a pulpit and say, look at me, I'm Dr. So-and-so. I have 16 pieces of paper on my wall. Actually, I got more. Well, no, I took all the paper off my wall. I got a blackboard now. And so anyhow, in my office, you won't find any doctorates. Amen. In my office, you're not going to find even a high school diploma. You ain't going to find none of that kind of stuff in there. You know what you will find? If you went in there today, you could look on the blackboard of my wall and you could find the outline of the sermon. Right? As all this on my wall. And I'm not saying that out of pride. I'm saying that out of a humble obedience because I want to be like Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus didn't have a doctorate. Peter didn't have a doctorate. James didn't have a doctorate. Don't get me wrong. Paul did. The rest of them didn't. Amen. And I don't know if you want to have your doctrine to be like Paul, then you better be ready to die to yourself. Well, look at his calling card. He was beaten, shipwrecked, stoned. He died. Right? Who here wants that? Who wants to be in the sea, shipwrecked for 3 nights and a day? Right? That's not like fun to me. I don't want to do that. Who wants to be run out from one town to another town to another town? You know? But if you really want the power of God, you've got to be willing to do those things.
Amen.
If we want to share in His glory, amen, who wants the glory of God? You've got to be able to come along with the grief, the suffering of Christ. Amen? Church, do you know that there's some suffering that goes along with Christ? You know, this is not the name it and claim it sermon. This isn't just blab it and grab it. All right, this is the time that the church needs to get real that in Christ Jesus there is a cost. Jesus paid it all. The other part of that song is all to Him I owe. Right? He paid for my sin completely and totally on the cross. But because He paid for me, He bought me when I was not worth anything. I owe Him everything because of that. That doctrine of the apostles was to love one another the way that God loved you. To love God first and foremost above all other things. And then be willing to suffer for the glory of God.
Yeah.
All right? I don't know about y'all, but it's been a long time since I've heard that preached anywhere. I listen to a lot of, I used to listen to a lot of radio preachers and stuff like that. I used to listen to a lot of folks that been to all those different schools and things like that, and I thought a lot of them until I got alone with God. All right? And when I got alone with God, He said, Curtis, there's more to this than that. There's more to this relationship. There's more to the doctrine of the apostles than just what you want it to be. The deepest part of the doctrine of the apostles is that we must love the one true God. All right? And then the fellowship of believers. All right? We're going to talk about fellowship next. Fellowship. When this whole pandemic. I'm so sick of calling it that. Amen? When this thing happened, do you think God was confused?
No. Yeah. Well, gee, I didn't know all that happened.
No. God is completely and totally in control of this.
Amen.
And I know that my God is sovereign. You know what that means? He's got it under control. Amen. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows the birth of every human being. And he knows the death of every human being.
Amen.
And if those folks would have not died of the virus, guess what? They were going to die of something. Because the last day was the day that they died. Period. And it may have been of some other thing. God was in control. If he knows every sparrow that falls to the ground, don't you think that he knows yours too?
Amen.
Amen. And he loves you. Tell him, you're worth more than sparrows, ain't you? Sparrows sold for a farthing. A little half a penny. A sparrow ain't sold for much. In fact, it takes about 26 sparrows to make a decent sandwich. Right?
Another bird joke.
Right? And it's just... they're just small, right?
I'm sorry.
See, sometimes my flesh takes over. But the truth of it is this, that God knows.
Amen. That's
he is
right.
Absolutely in control.
That's
right? And there's not one person that shall fall that wasn't supposed to fall during this time.
That's right.
And we, as the church, are not supposed to forsake the assembly of ourselves.
Amen.
As we see, as the habit of some is, as we see the day approaching.
Yeah.
All right?
Amen.
Y'all see the day approaching?
Yes.
You born again believers in Jesus Christ, can you tell that there's something happening, that there the warfare in the heavenly realms, the powers and the principalities that are fighting against the godliness of this world, the holiness in this world, that they're fighting desperately hard now in the heavenly realms. You see that? That lets me know that the day is approaching. All right? I don't know the hour. I don't know the day. But I can tell that we're coming to that time where wickedness, the son of perdition, is going to show up on the scene. And he's going to have victory over the saints. Not over the church. All right? Because Jesus said, upon this rock, he was talking to Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now the rock that Jesus was talking about to Peter was the confession that Peter made when Jesus asked him this question. Who do men say that I am? Some folks said, you're just a prophet. You're a good guy. Some say, well, you're John, reincarnated. Some say this, some say that. And Jesus says, but who do you say that I am? Peter. I love Peter. And he said, you are the Son of the Most High God.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but the Spirit of God. Right?
Mm-hmm.
How do we know that the time's coming? It's not because of what CNN says or Fox News says or the riots that are going on. That isn't what tells me that time's near. The Spirit of God that dwells inside of me is saying, awake the church. Right? It's time for the church to awake. And to know this, we need fellowship. The word in Greek is koinonia. Koinonia. We need that deep understanding, that deep love, that brings us into the fullness of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. But Paul's book to Timothy, in Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, the Spirit speaketh expressly, to the point. All right, I have a hard time with big words. All right, but anyhow, the Spirit says expressly, that's it, expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, the doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, and having their conscience seared as with a hot iron. So in the latter times, we're going to find that there's going to be a falling away. There's going to be a moving away. And they're going to think that it's okay. Their conscience, their understanding that my pastor told me, that the church will never have to go through the the hard times of the world, because in Revelation chapter 4, all of a sudden we start floating away. Right? Anybody was brought up with that? I was. Right? And all of a sudden in John chapter 4, the church age is coming to the end, Laodicea comes to an end, and all of a sudden you just lift off the ground. I pray that that's right. I really do. But from what I see in Scripture, I see that the church is going to have to go through some hard times. That there's a gleaning that's going to happen. That the wheat are going to have to be separated from the tares. The ones who really believe are going to have to be called to one side. And the ones who are wishy-washy, lukewarm. I think Jesus said, I prefer that you're hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. So there's going to be a difference between those who are born again and those who are simply God puke.
Amen.
All right? Those who are going to be vomited out of the mouth of God. I don't want any of us to be there on that side. Right? I want all of us to be holding on to the right doctrines. Not the doctrines of devils, not listening to the hypocrisy, not being part of the falling away or departing from the faith, but those who are holding on. Not as Jesus said in Matthew 7:15-20, I'm just going to hit a couple of these here. Jesus said, beware of false prophets which come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. And he says in verse 16 of that, and you shall know them by their fruits. How will you know who's a ravening wolf? The ones that are eating the sheep. Right? The ones that are taking and not giving to the flock. When Jesus talked to Peter on the seashore in John, I think it's chapter 20, he said to him three times, do you love me? He said, yeah. Peter said, yeah, Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Right? Do you love me? Then do something about it. The pastor and I, I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings, but too bad. The pastors that are closing their doors are not feeding the sheep.
Amen.
It's not the same on Facebook as it is in fellowship. Alright? You cannot Zoom this. Right? We need the fellowship together.
Yes.
And the pastors that love the flock of God feed the sheep. Not TV dinners. Right? We don't need TV dinners. And we don't need dessert. What we need is the sincere milk of the Word of God. We need that sincere meat of the Word of God. And we need to do that in the fellowship, the koinonia together. How am I supposed to strengthen you? How are you supposed to strengthen me if we do not come together? If we do not fellowship? If we do not come and meet face to face and I can hear your prayer request? There's one thing. Folks call up and say, Pastor, can you pray for me? I say, yes, I'll pray for you, no problem. But the first thing I ask them is, have you prayed for yourself? All right? It's like, what, you think I got a special in? I don't. I have the same Holy Spirit in me as you have in you.
Amen.
I'm not special. Right? I'm really not. I'm not special. I'm not some super duper pastor guy. I am just a sheepdog in amongst the sheep. My job is to try to guide you, try to love you, try to bring the fold together, right?
Yeah.
That we would be in the mercy and the grace of God, in the fullness of His love. Oh, that fellowship that we're supposed to have, that koinonia, it is more than just the simple gathering, okay? That they had like in the Pentecost time, but it's more like what they did after that time.
Mm-hmm.
They met together. They broke bread from house to house together. They got to know each other intimately.
Amen.
All right? I got to know what your dog's like. You know, so I come into your house, I eat meals with you, you come into my house, we eat. Something about eating together, you know? I mean, yeah, you might be my friend, and I might love you, but if we haven't shared a hot dog over a fire, Man, there's something missing, right? That deepness, that intimacy that comes from really knowing each other. To know what kind of brats you got. Right? I know. Well, they're my kids. No, they're your brats. I got brats too. All right, so it's not yours. But to know those children the way that they are. To love them, to get to see, yeah, you got a dirty sock stuffed under the couch. It's cool, right? So do I. And to have that fellowship, that intimacy that only comes from gathering.
Amen.
That only comes from breaking bread together. That also comes that when you hurt, I hurt. So, all right, I see your child or I see your loved one or your friend that has moved away from the righteousness of God. And we can pray and cry together.
Amen.
And my heart would be broken because your heart is broken. That's the fellowship he's talking about. Or maybe we can celebrate because, yeah, your child is walking with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Well, how about that one? And we can celebrate together. But without the right fellowship, we can't do that. You can tell me, oh, my child's walking with the Lord. Well, pray good for that. But until I'm sitting beside you and we're sweating together and we're loving together and we're crying together and we have that deep relationship, that really doesn't happen. Do you know that all of your friends on Facebook really are not your friends? I heard somebody say, I got 400 friends on Facebook. Well, praise God. If you were out of groceries, would any of them bring you a slice of bread? Or, yeah, some of them would. I mean, some of them will, right? But I know a lot of people who wouldn't. They just like you because it's the cool thing to do. Now, if I like you, when you have your toilet backing up, right? All right? Let's get real here. The children flush something down the toilet and you don't know what it is. A real friend, you'll call them up and they'll bring a plunger and a wrench and a new wax ring. Right? And they'll try to plunge it. If it don't plunge, we'll rip that toilet right out of the ground. We'll flip it upside down. We'll dig out whatever's in there. Right? That's what a real friend does. That's what fellowship does.
I'm not
right?
Your friend, Curtis.
Huh?
I'm not your friend.
If I need to pick out the right house color paint, you're there. All right. Amen. But, Asha, if you ever needed me to come clean your toilet out, clean your gutters out, that's what I'm for.
Oh, can I make that appointment right now?
Yes, you can. All right? I'm there for you because I love you. And we can have that kind of fellowship. That's what it's about. Laughing, living together, crying together, dying together, going through this hard time that we're seeing in the world right now together. That's the fellowship of believers.
Amen.
It's not just coming together on Sunday morning, right, and putting on the Christian face, right? Woohoo, yay, look at me. I'm all polished up today, right? It's being unpolished all the time.
Amen.
And loving each other in the midst of that. And when the world sees that, they're going to be drawn to that. But unfortunately, for the last 1,000 years or more, or less, somewhere in there, we stopped teaching that. That the fellowship and the doctrine were very important. The breaking of bread together. How important is that? And I'm not just talking about eating at each other's house, but the communion of the saints, right? How many folks have gone to bodies that they say, okay, on the 15th of every month, this is when we're doing that. And only on the 15th. We won't do it on the 2nd. We won't do it on the 31st. When the 15th comes around, boom, that's when we're going to do it. And we're only going to do it on the 15th. Oh, wait a second. Is that the way communion, the remembering the death and the suffering of Christ, is that the way it's supposed to be done? No, it says every time we come together, right?
Amen.
Every time we come together. But you don't do it in a way that it's fruitless. Because Paul said there's a lot of y'all that are dead or sickly because you're taking the communion incorrectly. First, we need to examine ourselves. Am I staying in the doctrine? Do I have the full fellowship of the believers? Am I really walking and living what I'm saying that I'm walking and living? I don't know if y'all noticed it, but talk is cheap. It really is. James put it this way, if your brother or your sister comes to you naked and destitute of food, and you say, oh, I'll pray for you, but you don't tend to the need, then your religion is worthless. It's worthless. That fellowship is more than just coming together. It's meeting the need, whatever the need is. It's coming to that point where it's no longer my house, it's our house, right? It's no longer my food in the freezer, it's our food in the freezer. It's no longer my truck, it's our truck, right? It says in the Acts of the Apostles, right, that they sold their belongings, right, that everybody who had a need could have the need met. All right? That's what the church is about. So if you're in need, and I see you're in need, and I don't do anything about that need, my religion, my koinonia is worthless. Man, I don't want that to be in the church. I really don't, because that's not what it was meant to be. We're called to come together in fellowship. We're called to love each other. Now, I'm not saying don't love the world, but I tell you, the world doesn't love you. The world will love its own, but if the world hates you, know this, you're walking with the body. You're in fellowship.
Amen.
You're believing the doctrine of the apostles, and the world's going to hate you for that. If they hated Christ for that, they're going to hate you for that too. So if they have persecuted me, know this, they're going to persecute you. Unless you're kind of a wishy-washy Christianity. If you're walking both sides of the world, or the spirit world and the physical world, I'm walking in the spirit and in the flesh. No, you're not. You're either one or the other. You can't join up in the army, the American army, and serve the Russian army at the same time without being a traitor. Right? You can't be walking in the righteous, saying that you're a Christian, born-again believer, lover of the doctrines and the body of God, and walking in the unrighteousness and the darkness of this world.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Now, it doesn't say that we shouldn't have fellowship with those folks. How are they going to know Christ unless we have fellowship with them? Right? But I don't have to join in what they're doing. I have to love them in the midst of what they're doing, because that's what Jesus did with me. Oh, while you were yet sinners, while you were still sinners, Christ died for you. And He loved you. And He gave His life, His body, His back, His resurrection for you. How much more should we do it for the lost? And how much more should we do it for the body?
Amen?
Amen? The next point is prayer. I think that is the thing that the church is missing more than any. It's the most powerful weapon we have. Prayer and fasting. Right? Jesus said to the father who had a son that was possessed with a demon, the apostles couldn't cast it out, right? And the father said, I've brought my son to you and to your apostles. They couldn't do anything about it. And so Jesus cast him out. And then the apostles came to Jesus and said, why couldn't we cast this demon out? You gave us power over the spirits. Why didn't we do it? Jesus said, this kind only comes out with prayer and fasting. Now, we know that the prayer of the righteous availeth much. What does the prayer of the unrighteous do? Squat. Right? It doesn't do much. It doesn't do much. Jesus told this account. I won't call it a story. It's an account. Two men that came into a temple. One was a publican, a tax collector. And the other was a Pharisee. The Pharisee stood and he said, "Oh, thank you, Lord God. I'm not like these guys. Okay. You know, look at all the good works I do. I tithe even to the mite. I tithe. I do all the things I'm supposed to do. Oh, God, look at me. Oh, I'm so good. Man, you got to bless me. I deserve it, God. Didn't I give everything? Oh, man. Blow some smoke up my skirt. I feel good." And there's the other man, the sinner, and he knew who he was. He wouldn't even lift his head to heaven. He pounded on his chest. "God, forgive me, a sinner." He says, only one of these guys left made righteous. Only one of these guys. Which one? The humble one. The broken one.
Amen.
The one who is willing to confess his sin openly. Prayer that changes things. Amen. Do you know there's a prayer that doesn't go any higher than the ceiling? And then there's a prayer that changes things. Now, my prayers will never change God. He's on a course. He's always at work. He's always going to do what He's going to accomplish, right? But there's a prayer that changes me.
That's it.
Right? There's a prayer that will change who what my heart is into what God's heart is. There's a prayer of confession. We need to confess our faults one to another. And if I don't have that koinonia, if I don't have that fellowship with you, how can I confess that to you? And if we ain't real close, I'm not going to tell you my dirty little secret. Right? And we need to confess our faults one to another. Why? That way you can hold me accountable. You can come up to me next week and say, "Curtis, you know that thing that we talked about? How you dislike your neighbor? Right? Know how we talked about that the other day? How you doing with that?" Right? That only comes from that deep fellowship. Right? That only comes from that. And that prayer, that confession one to another of our own unrighteousness. James chapter 5, verse 15 through 18 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for another that ye may be healed. The effective prayer of the righteous availeth much." Also tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, "The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Wow. Do you know that you could be in the church and the face of God be against you? Well, what are you doing? What's your lifestyle? What doctrines are you following, right? Are you following the doctrines that are clearly marked down in the Word of God? Are you staying inside the love pen? It's the love pen, baby. No, is that boundary that God sets up for you, right? Is that boundary that says, "I love you so much, I'm giving you the whole garden. And you can play and frolic and run and enjoy the life that I've given to you. Just don't cross the fence. Because on the other side of the fence is death and poison, landmines, hurting." How do I stay on the right side of the fence? As I follow doctrine. And I stay close to the shepherd that's close into the flock.
Amen?
Right? And we do that not only physically, but also prayerfully. How can I pray for you if I don't know you? Right? You can say, "Well, pray for my sister that needs healing." Amen, amen. I'll do that. But you know what will do more good? "Hey, brother, come with me. Let's go visit my sister. She needs healing." All right? Let's meet together over on such and such place. I need prayer. Will you meet me by the river? Nobody else needs to know, just me and you. Will you meet me there? That way we can get on our face before God and we can pour these things out together before the Lord, that we can receive healing. I need men like that in my life. All right? And y'all need men and women like that in your lives. And I say me for a man because there's some things in my life I don't want women to know about. All right? They're just we're different. All right? And men will be more right up, kick you in the shin, and say, suck it up. All right? Let's get right. Let's move forward. Or women are a little more, you know, maybe. You know, and that's good. Okay? But that's not what God needs. What guys need. Guys need a swift kick in the face every once in a while. Right? I would say the other side, but normally their head's up there anyhow, so that's where they need to be kicked. Right? Where women need a more... Well, they're when I say the weaker vessel, understand what I'm saying. They are a crystal vase. All right? They're a crystal vase, and they need to be treated different than what a guy does. I like the analogy that I was taught a long time ago. Men are like that old rugged coffee cup rolling around in the bottom of the truck. Right? And it's just rolling around. It gets dinged and dirty. And you know what? When you need a cup of coffee, you sling it out and you pour more mud into it. Right? Women are like this beautiful, delicate, was the last creation of God. And they're special. You wouldn't throw them in the bottom of your truck and let them roll around. No, you take them.
We says, why not?
Because you don't want to break them, right? And you got to love them that way. And again, that takes fellowship.
Amen.
Right? That takes fellowship with the believers. That takes an understanding of who we are in Christ Jesus. How to pray for one another. We need strong doctrine. We need fellowship. We need that prayer that doesn't change the world, but it changes me, better suited to shine the love of God into the world. We all know 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people pray, right? They would humble themselves and seek my face. Turn from their wicked ways, right? Then I will hear from heaven and I'll heal the land. That kind of prayer, to humbly come before God honestly, right? The way David, when he wrote those Psalms, he didn't hide his sin from God. He said, God, I know I'm a sinner. Please don't remove your salvation from me. He said, God, show me your mercy. I confess my sin before you. He humbly came, not in pride, not in arrogance, not puffed up. Then it says, That's the spirit we come into prayer. Right? Forgive me, a sinner. He says, seek my face. To seek the face of the Lord is to be totally transparent. Because he already sees through you anyhow. So he wants you to confess your sin. He already knows what you did. Right? Especially if you're born again. Because the Holy Spirit, His Holy Spirit lives in you.
Amen.
Right? So you ain't hiding nothing from Him. He was there when you did it. Right? So you might as well be honest about it. So be honest before God. Right? Seek His face. Look into the holiness of God. And allow the wickedness of my heart to be dealt with.
Amen.
That's seeking His face. Mm-hmm. Then He says, turn from it. See, it's not just enough to say, God, I'm a sinner. He already knows that. Right? He says, turn away from that. Make up your mind. That word repents, that turn away, is I'm going one way in my will, my desire, and God says, stop. I love you. Come after me. See, you can't live and walk in sin and walk with God at the same time. Because at that time, you're going in different directions. So while you're still close to God, He calls you. The Holy Spirit unctions you. He says, hey, I love you. Come out of the darkness and into the light. I already know what you did. I already know who you are. And I love you anyway.
Bless Him.
Amen. Bless Him. Love Him. turn away from that and come back. Come back to where you are. Come back to who you were. Openly, willingly, lovingly. Because God loves you. And He doesn't want to do anything to harm you. So it's time, church. It's time to come back to these foundations. It's just three, really. It's just three. Get into sound doctrine. Bible, B-I-B-L-E. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Right? I love that. This tells me what I need to do. This is the doctrine that I need. I don't need Professor so-and-so's ideals about what this says. I need this. And we as the body of Christ need to read this book from cover to cover. Alright? Old Testament, New Testament, Proverbs, Psalms, all those things. We need to read it and then apply it in your life. Every bit about it. If God says that I'm supposed to do this and I don't want to do that, guess who needs to change? Me! Right? Because He said He will never hurt me. He doesn't want to hurt me. The laws that He set up are for our benefit. Now, if we really believe that, wouldn't we obey it? If a doctor tells you to take this, oh, but it tastes like earwax, take it. It'll be better. Take two of these in the morning, you'll call me, it'll be better. And even if it tastes like earwax, oh, it's nasty. Oh, you take it, right? Because the doctor told you to. Well, how about Dr. Jesus?
There you go.
When Dr. Jesus says, hey, you need to pray and fast. You want to be free from this thing that's holding you back? Don't just repent. Don't just talk about it. Talk is cheap. Do something about it.
Amen.
Bring it to the horns of the altar. Tie it there. And let your high priest slit its throat and drain its blood. Right? Because those things God wants most. Right? He doesn't want our goodness because we have none. Just as you are.
Amen.
Right? And if you come as you are, He will change you into what you need to be.
Yes.
To do that, we need fellowship. We need the doctrine of God, right? No doubt. We need the Bible in our lives, real and personally. But we also need the fellowship. You need to know me good enough that you can come to me and say, Curtis, what you're doing is wrong. And here it is in the Bible. I don't care if you are the guy who stands up and preaches every Sunday. What you did, what you said is wrong compared to the Word of God. And any man who stands in the pulpit ought to take that seriously and say, yeah, you're right. I shouldn't have closed the church 6 weeks ago. God didn't tell me to do that. The governor told me to do that. And I followed the governor instead of the Spirit of God. Forgive me. In Jesus' name, right? Any pastor that has any compassion for his flock ought to do that. I know there's a lot of pastors that are going to hear that and they're going to hate me for it. I've been hated by better people. It's okay. I don't care if you hate me. I'm not here to be your friend. I'm here to be a light shining in the darkness. I'm here to love people. I'm here to make fellowship with the believers. And when the fellowship, when we've got the right doctrine, and we're in the right fellowship, and then when we come together and pray.
Amen.
When we pray, I mean we really pray. And we don't pray the cheap, flimsy prayers, bless me, feed me, make me fat. We pray those prayers, kill me.
Amen.
Kill me.
Yeah.
This thing in my life needs to die. And Father, I need courage to bring it to the altar of grace. I need courage to bring it to your mercy. I need courage to tie it to the horns. And I need faith to back off and let you do with it.
Amen.
Whatever you will.
Amen.
Right? Where are those prayers in the church today? I don't know. And I can't make you do it. All we can do, and this is individually, as for me and my house, this vessel, we're going to serve God. Amen? We're going to serve God. And the best way I can serve God is with you guys. Right? I'm horrible about finishing sermons. You know what I got to say? I have nothing else to say. You know? Because unless you do it, I can't help you. Right? And please, I would love to have every one of you always coming back here, always in this. I would love that to happen. But you need to follow the Spirit of God. If you belong to a body of believers, right? And your pastor has not been feeding the flock, first confront him with love and truth. Right? Spirit and truth. You confront him. Pastor, I love you. I've been a member here for 75 years. My great-great-grandma was a member here. And I love being a part of this body, but I'm starving to death because you're not feeding us. Please feed us. And what he does next ought to depend on what you do after that. If he says, no, we're not going to do that because I'm afraid of whatever. I'm afraid of losing my 501c3. I'm afraid of, if we do this, you're going to get sick. You know what that puts them in the place of? God.
Amen.
Who's sovereign? The pastor or the father? Right? The father is. That's between you and your pastors. All right? And I pray for your pastors. See, I want the body of Christ to open up and to join in this fellowship that's not bogged down by denomination. Right? The fellowship of... Just real quick. God doesn't care if you go to a Pentecostal church. Or he doesn't care if you go to a Baptistal church. Right? He doesn't care what denomination you are. He cares about you.
Amen.
You are the church. He's not going to have us divided up there, the Baptist on the right and the Catholics on the left and this one over there. It's those who have confessed and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, if you've never accepted the Lord as your personal Savior, guess what? Today's the day of salvation for you. Amen? And all you got to do is ask Him. He loves you. He cares for you. He already knows where you've sinned and come short of, right? And he says, I died for you. And I rose up on the third day to show you that I am God in the flesh. And I paid the price for your sin. If you ask me to be your Savior, if you confess that you can't get right on your own, and you ask Him, He will do that. You know how I know He'll do it? He did it for me.
Yeah.
Amen? And if He saved this dirty, rotten rat that you see before you, and if you would have known me before Christ, you would have said amen to that vigorously. Amen? If He saved me, He'll save you.
Amen.
And if He saves you, He will make you a new creation.
Amen.
Right? A new creature. He'll show you that all the old things have died. They've passed away. And He will make in you a new heart. Amen? And if you want it, all you got to do is ask. It's like a try-through, man. What do you want? Well, I want a new heart. Jesus, here, I'm a sinner. Can you help me? He says, yeah.
Hey, you know what? I'll die on a cross for you. You know what I'll do? I'll stretch out my arms. I'll take your sin in my righteousness, and then I will cover you with my love. Right?
We're all grace-covered dog turds. That's what I hate to be so blunt, but that's what we are. We're nasty, unworthy, unrighteous. And God knew that, and He covered you with his blood, with his grace. And he loves you that way. All you got to do is ask. All right? Now, church, born-again believers in Jesus Christ, you have an idol in your life that's stopping you from coming to God. Cell phones, Facebooks, computers, cars, grass. I don't know what it is. Folks who drive around in circles really fast, going nowhere. Like, what was that? Speed car racing.
Basketball.
Yeah. Speed car racing. Whatever. You have an idol in your life. You know what God wants you to do? Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Tear down that altar in your life. And follow me.
Amen.
Amen. So, church, you got something that's stopping you from getting right with God? Bring it to the altar. Amen. Tie it to the horns. Let your high priest, Jesus Christ, kill it for you. And then walk in righteousness. It sounds so simple, but I guarantee you it's the hardest thing you'll ever do. But I said I was going to close. 10 minutes ago, I didn't. I don't know how to close. I don't know how to close. So everybody, let's just pray, okay? Dear Father, I love you. Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help the church, Father, to get back. Let us get back, Father. Let's come back to the foundation. God, that we would love your word. That we would hold on to those doctrines of the apostles. That we would be steeped, in the righteousness of the Most High God. Father, please let that happen. Yes. Father, encourage your body to come together.
Yes.
Oh, let us, Father, let us hug one another. Let us live for each other. Yes. Let us die to ourselves that you might glorify in each other. Yes. Father, help us to be honest to you, holy and just before you. And Lord, teach us to pray again. Not just with the mouth, but with our life. Oh God, help us to come back to those foundations with prayer and fasting, humbleness, brokenness. Oh, that we would rent our heart and not our clothes, Lord. We thank you. We praise you for those things. Yeah. In Jesus' most high and precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Love you guys. Be strong this week.